This is Justin from Semi-Precious Weapons.
Tyler from Neon Trees.
This is Tim Nordwin from the band OK Go.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
And you're listening to High Voltage.
You are listening to High Voltage.
Welcome back to the High Voltage Radio Hour. This is Chelsea, everyone's favorite uncool rock star, and I've got a special episode for you guys today, a treat really, as we talk about all things Disney Plus. Well, specifically the latest Disney Plus original programming, because it's been a minute since we really broke that down, and I thought it would be fun to talk about some of the hottest new shows of this summer. So specifically today, we're going to talk about Monsters at Work, The Mysterious Benedict Society, Behind the Attraction, and of course, Loki, because if you know me, you probably expected at some point we would talk about Loki, and you're probably surprised I didn't do it sooner, but that's because I wanted to wait until we had the full season to really dive into this. So before we get into all of that, I'm going to read a short message from our sponsor, and then we'll dive right on in. Now that we've gotten that business out of the way, which thank you to Anchor FM for sponsoring our show, let's dive into Disney Plus. Now, if you have not seen Monsters at Work, Mysterious Benedict Society, Behind the Attraction, or Loki, and you don't want spoilers of any kind, this is your warning to save the podcast and come back later. Now, I'm not going to go into specific detailed spoilers. I'm really just going to kind of talk about my thoughts on the show. And if you don't want that kind of review, that's my version of spoiler for this. That's what I mean to go ahead and come back later. But if you are debating watching any of these shows and you want to know my thoughts, go ahead and join me on this journey. Or if you've already seen it and you just want to get nerdy with it, welcome. So first of all, it's been a while, as I said, since we really broke down the Disney Plus offerings. And we're finally in this heyday where there's constantly new releases a couple of times a week. In fact, there's so much coming out in terms of releases that they now drop on 2 days because Fridays were getting too overwhelming. There was so many shows dropping on Friday. Like at one point in April, you had Big Shot, Mighty Ducks, Big Batch, like all of these shows just all coming on Friday to where you had to spend like your entire Friday night on Disney Plus. Not necessarily a negative thing, but you might want to space those out a bit. So that's what Disney did. In June, starting with Loki, they've added Wednesdays as a release date. So now Monsters at Work comes out at Wednesdays and Behind the Attraction is dropping on a Wednesday and all of that stuff. So 2 days of the week to dedicate towards Disney Plus new releases. It's exciting. This is just the beginning of their big programming batch to come. Like everything that they've teased since D23 2019 is finally upon us. So we're going to save Loki for last, and we're going to start with Monsters at Work. If you just want to skip ahead because you want to hear a specific show, I'll give you the order right now. We're going to talk about Monsters at Work, then The Mysterious Benedict Society, followed by Behind the Attraction, and then we will get into Loki. So let's go ahead and start things off with Monsters at Work, which is now airing Wednesdays on Disney Plus. There's currently a few episodes out. Let me just say, this series did not start off strong for me. Now, I went in with high hopes and like had a giant expectation hangover, which I'm coming down from, and I realized that. But I've been looking forward to this show since D23 2019 when they announced it. And then we thought we were getting it at Disney Plus launch, and that didn't happen. And we didn't get it throughout all of 2020. And now it's finally here. So I think I built it up too much. And I just want to preface that before I continue, because I feel like that's important for people to know. So I felt like episode one was a giant letdown. Then episode two was just like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. But the ending, like the last 5 minutes, I was like, wait a second. This is the show I was hoping for. If the episodes continue like these 5 minutes, I could be in. And I'm here to say that episode three got better. And it was finally what I was expecting from the series. So if you started out and you watched those first two episodes and you also experienced that expectation hangover, I am here to tell you to hang in there. It gets better. Now, things to note, John Goodman and Billy Crystal are back as Sully and Mike. Exciting. Bob Peterson's back too. That's the voice of Roz, or now Roz's twin sister as well. Other things to note, there's a lot of new monsters, a lot of new characters. Val Little is probably the most annoying monster I have ever seen within the entire universe. Like, with Monsters, Inc. and Monsters University and now Monsters at Work, Val is, congratulations, you have irritated me more than any other monster. Now, I say this because I think she's adorably drawn. I like her voice. It's not about the voice. It's the fact that she talks over everyone at all times. And I think it's just her way of fighting to get a word in because she's felt so invisible most of her life. But there's moments within the MIFT community, which is this new group of monsters that work at Monsters at Work. So the new, it's not the scare floor anymore. It's the laugh floor. Anyway, the MIFT team. I don't even know how to describe this. I'm going to say that I'm highly sensitive. And when there is a lot of stimuli, so that can be like a party setting, a concert, just when there's a lot of noise coming from everywhere, it's very overwhelming for me. And what I found in episode 1 and 2 is that there was a lot of dialogue on top of each other, which was very hard for me to digest what was happening. And I was having an honest-to-God panic attack watching this show. It was very overwhelming for me. And it's gotten better. There's not as much of that happening now, but the character Val Little continues to do it. So that is my downfall of this show. But I think the rest of the narrative and the rest of the story can actually save it for me. And I do have to say that Fritz, who is the boss of the MIFT department, is my new favorite monster. Adorable. I love his personality, not to mention voiced by bonus Henry Winkler, the Fonz. Two thumbs way up for that. So let's see. Let's give it a rating. Out of a scale of 10, I'm going to give Monsters at Work a 6 currently. And yeah, we'll see if it gets better from here. I have faith. I like to give shows 3 episodes before I really decide if I'm going to continue on this journey or not. I'm going to continue on Monsters at Work, and I'm very curious what your thoughts on this series are. So please, as always, find me on social media. Drop me a message on Twitter at UncoolRockstar or a DM on Instagram at SprinkledByMagic, and I'd love to hear what you think about Monsters at Work. Which brings me to our next topic, the mysterious Benedict Society, which is currently airing with new episodes on Fridays on Disney Plus, because this entire episode is about Disney Plus originals, had you not picked up on that yet. Now, this series is based off of a series of young adult novels, Mystery, Adventure, and Style by Trenton Lee Stewart. And I feel like no one's talking about this show, but they should. And maybe it's because when it premiered at the end of June, there was 2 episodes. And the first episode was really strong, like super intriguing, mysterious. The costume, the set design, the story, the narrative, the acting, hell, the music. It started off with Electric Light Orchestra. ELO, I'm here for it. Definitely was feeling it. And then episode 2 took this giant nosedive. And it was really unfortunate because the show gets so much better after that, but you have to push yourself through episode 2. So I feel like people watched those first 2 episodes and then just went, I don't think this is for me, because especially that second episode dragged. I think there was a bit of a pacing issue with the second episode in particular. But I'm here to say that this show has some solid Sherlock vibes, from the narrative to the theme song itself, but also some Wes Anderson vibes, some Lemony Snicket vibes, maybe a little Tim Burton, and definitely some Umbrella Academy, but without the superpowers. So plenty to love within that. It also has a solid cast. Now, the adults really shine in this show. You've got Tony Hale, you've got Ryan Hurst, and Kristen Schaal, all of which are just superb in their roles here, and each one of them with a personality so distinctly different from the other one, yet they complement each other so well. And then you've got newcomers like Mystic Inshu, I'm not really sure how to say this kid's last name. I apologize for butchering that. But Mystic plays Rinny, the, like, I'm going to call him the lead kid because in my opinion, he's the leader. He's fantastic. I think this kid could do some great things. So push through episode 2 and continue on because I believe 4 or 5 episodes have aired out of 8 so far. If you're listening to this podcast much later down the road, maybe the whole thing's there and you can binge it now. But I say stick with it because I love a good mystery. I love Sherlock. What can I say? I am a huge Sherlock fan. So just any sort of that kind of puzzle to solve where it's done in more of a lighthearted nature. We can call it family friendly if you want to, but it doesn't have to be that family friendly for me. Like, I loved The Irregulars on Netflix, which is another based off the Sherlock book series. And that one's definitely a bit darker. So this is right up there with me. I'm definitely digging it, and I highly recommend people watch it. Out of a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give this one a 7. So it's slightly above Monsters at Work for me. But I want to know your thoughts. So make sure, again, find me on social media, Twitter, UncoolRockstar, or on Instagram at SprinkledByMagic. Let me know if you're watching or if you will watch or when you start watching and what you think of this show. Moving on to Behind the Attraction. Now, this is actually the only series I'm talking about today that actually isn't quite out yet. Well, that depends on when you're listening to this podcast because the podcast itself is coming out the Sunday before the series comes out on Wednesday. So if you listen to the podcast right away, it's not out yet. If you're listening to it a week, a month, a year later, it's already out. Perspective. So Behind the Attraction officially comes out on Wednesday, July 21st, though, and it's coming out with only half of its season. 5 episodes are dropping, and then the other 5 will come out later in 2021. Now, this is a docuseries, and it's giving us Imagineering story feels. So if you like Disney parks, and you especially love Imagineering stories and learning every bit of trivial information you can about Walt Disney World, Shanghai Disney, Disneyland Paris, the original Disneyland, so on and so forth, this is the show for you. Now, it's directed and produced by Brian Volkweis. I may have gotten that last name pronunciation wrong, and I apologize. Brian is the producer behind Down to Earth with Zac Efron and The Toys That Made Us, The Holidays That Made Us, The Movies That Made Us, all of those docuseries that you can find on Netflix, all of which I think are brilliantly done, especially Down to Earth with Zac Efron. If you have not watched that documentary yet, docuseries, I should say, I highly recommend it. So going into this, I was already like, okay, this will be fun. I like his style for how he puts together these documentaries. It definitely keeps your attention. And then additionally, Dwayne Johnson is producing the series, which to me feels like he made the Jungle Cruise movie and he's a fan of the Disney parks and wanted to learn more about Jungle Cruise to prepare for his role. And that led to an idea of why don't people tell these stories for a series on Disney Plus? And to me, that feels like a natural progression of how this show could have come together, but I could be way off the mark. I don't know that for a fact. But Dwayne Johnson does also appear in the Jungle Cruise episode, which is extra fun for those of you that are fans of The Rock. So I have to say that there's been tons of Imagineering stories and documentaries and interviews and archival footage and events that I've gone to over the years. And it always feels like, in terms of Disney knowledge, it's hard to tell me something I don't already know. And this series filled me with things I didn't already know. Now, the 5 episodes that are dropping at launch include the story behind Space Mountain, Star Tours, Tower of Terror, which is now Guardians of the Galaxy, and they address that also in the episode, Jungle Cruise, and Haunted Mansion. But this isn't just, hey, we had an idea for a ride, this is how we put it together, and voila, it's here. It literally takes you through the full journey from initial concept all the way to the future planning of where this ride's gonna go in the future and how it can be adapted and adopted and updated and constantly reborn. It was really fascinating, especially going on the Space Mountain journey, to find out that Space Mountain was a concept for Disneyland but didn't come to Disneyland first. It actually first launched at Walt Disney World, which was several years later, and then came to Disneyland, and then how they've had to update it for every other park. And I didn't realize that the reason Shanghai doesn't have Space Mountain, it's really just well done. I'm a little nervous for the second release. As I said, half of the season is coming later this year, because so far, I feel like they've dropped all of the heavy hitters for the show. And sitting in the press junket, I got to talk to a few of the Imagineers, and we got to talk to Brian, who, again, directed and produced the series. And they said that attractions that are not currently at the parks were off the table. And I'm trying to think of what else they can do that hasn't really been done that is as exciting as Jungle Cruise, Haunted Mansion, Space Mountain, Star Tours, and Tower of Terror. Yes, we can talk about maybe Avengers Campus in a different way, but only one park has that so far, and they seem to be wanting this show to be expansive and inclusive of all of the Disney parks around the world. So now you have to think about attractions that exist everywhere. Well, okay, we have Star Wars Land, Batu. That's only in two of the parks. Maybe they could go there. Some people might like to see Pandora. That's only in Walt Disney World. So I know one of the things they're doing in the latter half of the show is Hall of Presidents. I'm sorry, does anyone care about the Hall of Presidents? I mean, it's fun, but I don't feel like it's nearly as exciting as Jungle Cruise and Space Mountain. Like, I will definitely watch because I am totally in to see how they create an add-on to the presidents every time. But, okay, you know? So I'm just very curious to see what they end up doing with the second half of the show. But that's not to discourage you from watching, because how they've pieced together these first five episodes that we get on July 21st is so informative and so fun that I know whatever else they give us will be just as informative and fun. And I think we're going to walk away from this the way that we walked away from the Imagineering story. Now, you won't cry. A lot of us cried and got very emotional at the Imagineering story. It was very sentimental. You don't get that sentimental vibe from behind the attraction is because of Tron. That Tron is their Space Mountain. And if you want that story, you're going to have to watch the episode. And so it's really fun to see how they've delivered and developed these attractions, not just for Disneyland, but for every one of their parks around the world. And I thought that was very unique. I also loved the voiceover. You've got a bit of like a, we'll call it spunky, sarcastic voiceover artist that is guiding you through the entire narrative, which keeps it lighthearted and fun while they're mixing in archival interviews that you may or may not have seen, because some of them have never really been shown, with brand new interviews as much as they can get them. But you're still going to love it, I think. So for me, we're going up the scale here. Monsters at Work with a 6. Mysterious Benedict Society at a 7. I'm giving Behind the Attraction an 8 out of 10. Definitely go and check this out and come and talk with me about it after you've watched it. Now, without further ado whatsoever, that was a little A Knight's Tale reference for those of you that love that movie. Let's talk about Loki. This show. Get ready. I'm definitely going to go into a lot more spoilers here. So if you've been listening at this point and you have not binged all of Loki, which all of it is currently available on Disney Plus, please go ahead and save this podcast and come back and pick up where you left off after you've gotten through the finale so we can really unpack all of this together. That is your warning. So first of all, I am a giant Loki fan. We're going to put it out there for those of you that don't know. My favorite character in all of Marvel is Loki. So going into the show, we already knew it was going to be my favorite. There's two things. When Sylvie decides to kill Kang, this one variant of him at the end, we see all of the branches for the timeline. And we are now past the void. So we are at the point of time where we don't know what's going to happen. So we had this whole sacred timeline and everything had a time and a place. And now we're in this future that is unknown. And this future is now branching everywhere. But I'd also like to address the fact, and a lot of people haven't brought this up, is that what if that second season isn't Tom Hiddleston? What if it's Sylvie? What if it's President Loki? Like, what if they give us a different Loki altogether? Maybe a different actor. And I started to worry that once again they were going to kill him. And then I think it's episode 5 or maybe it's 4. I think it's 4 that he gets pruned right at the end. And I'm literally like, I was so angry when he got pruned that the credits started and I just turned off my TV. I didn't even finish the credits like I normally did. I didn't even think in my head that there could be an after credit scene because I was just that angry. And so then I got on Clubhouse, and there's always a Loki watch party that happens on Clubhouse, and they were still watching the episode. And I heard the credits start to roll, and so I'm waiting for people to start being angry and talk about it. No one's talking. It was just silence. And I was like, why is no one talking? I don't understand what's happening. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing more dialogue. And I was like, what? And I like ran back to my TV and turned it on. I hit play on the episode. And then thank you for that mid-credit scene. So we see he's still alive, because a week thinking that he was dead, I was not ready for again after, it's what, been 3 years since Infinity War? So all of that tangent just to say thank you for not killing off Tom Hiddleston, because I was definitely worried. And I went into the finale just going, please don't kill him. Please don't kill him. Please don't kill him. And you didn't. So yay for that. Huge positive. Now, the big thing that happened in Loki is we introduced our new big baddie. This is the villain that is taking Thanos' place in the future as we step into this new phase of the MCU. And my predictions were correct. Kang the Conqueror is here. This is our big bad. And I can't believe that not only were we introduced to the concept of him, but we actually spent time with him and the actor that is portraying Kang, Jonathan Majors, for the majority of that episode. I thought for sure that maybe we would just get like his face revealed at the very end and it would hit credits. So that was really exciting to actually spend time and get to know a little bit about Kang, but also how this multiverse is about to go, because this is literally what's happened now. So was it episode 2? It might have been 3. It was very early on. Might have been episode 1. At the very end, I think it was of episode 2. Everyone can be anyone. Anyone that's dead could still be alive. People that were alive could now be dead. And just get ready to not know what's happening at any point going forward, which has a lot of potential and could be a lot of fun. And it's extra exciting that the next Marvel series or content in general that we're getting is the What If show, which is coming to Disney Plus in August. Because What If is really going to show us the endless possibilities that can now happen in a multiverse / multiversal war, which is where we're headed. Now, prediction, or maybe this is more of a wish list item, we'll just get the rating out of the way right now. 10 out of 10. Absolutely. This is a 10 out of 10 for me. And there's only a handful of Disney Plus shows that I actually would give that mark to. And WandaVision actually probably gets a 10 out of 10 for me as well. So if that puts you on a scale of things. But I do think in terms of the specific MCU Disney Plus shows, this is the best one. And that's putting my bias aside. When Sylvie bombs the timeline and we see all of the branches take off, no one ever addressed that again. We just spent the rest of the time chasing Sylvie and Loki and learning about them. So we've actually created two different huge branches within the timeline in the multiverse. And this is now going to shape the future of the MCU. So phase 4 is basically everything is on the table. We know we're getting Secret Invasion. We know a whole bunch of other stories that are coming to play within phase 4. I'm hoping the way that everything in episode 2 of Loki. Now, first, before we really get into this, I just need to say to Kevin Feige and to Marvel Studios and to Kate, our director, and Michael, the writer of the show, and everyone involved in this creative process for developing phase 4, thank you for not killing off Tom Hiddleston. I'm going to say it again. Thank you for not killing off Tom Hiddleston, because I was panicked. You kill them off in Infinity War. How the heck are we bringing him back for this series? Then you bring him back to basically tell us that he can't ever go on the timeline. Then we meet millions of versions of him. I mean, we don't physically meet millions, but we know that there's plenty of variants and we meet quite a lot of them. And I started to go, all right, well, we know we're getting a second season because we knew this before they put it in the credits. Built to the Infinity Saga for between phase 1, 2, and 3. I hope that this builds to a contest of champions where we get Grandmaster with Kang in a bet with each other, where Kang brings in Squadron Supreme and Grandmaster, this is me pulling from the comics, y'all. Grandmaster brings in the Avengers, but it's not the Avengers as we know them. It's his favorite, we'll call it, Avengers from across the timelines for this ultimate fight against each other. Because if they pull Avengers from across the timelines wherever they want, you can have any variation of anything. And maybe that even means Robert Downey Jr. comes back for one more movie. I mean, him and Chris Evans both seem like they're out, but again, we're in multiverse. I feel like anything's possible. I feel like they could be down for one movie, maybe not sign on for a huge arc, but maybe they could come back for one movie. Maybe this is, again, just me personally wanting this, but we'll see. I'm also really excited because clearly we know we're building to Young Avengers at some point because we're introducing all those characters throughout all of these MCU shows. Also, if you haven't seen Black Widow yet, we're learning how much the TV shows are going to play into the movies and the movies are going to play into the TV shows because that end credits tag for Black Widow feeds into the Hawkeye series, which is coming later this year. It's just thrilling. It's really exciting. I am so, so excited for where Marvel is going. And I was really kind of concerned going into phase 4 because we've lost a lot of characters that we've spent 10 years getting to know. That's a lot of time. This is like losing a good friend. And now we're meeting all of these new characters, especially like the next two movies that are coming out before we even get to Spider-Man in December, are filled with nothing but characters we haven't met yet. Will we like these characters? Will we like them as much as we liked the ones we lost? These are all things that had me like concerned of like, can this new cast of characters become as passionate in our minds and our hearts and as loved as we are? Like, you know, who knows? We don't know, but I feel like we met Monica Rambeau in WandaVision. Love her. We've met Mobius, Renslayer, and Kang now in Loki series. And love what they're doing to where I feel more confident going into this phase now. So giant kudos to the entire team behind the Loki series, from our writer, who's also the writer for the Doctor Strange movie that's coming out in March, our female director, Kate, who's just did an incredible job bringing heart into this and telling stories in an inclusive way that I feel like we haven't seen as much of. They're definitely, with Falcon and Winter Soldier, we also had a female director, and we're just, I feel like the feminine touch is starting to come through and I'm loving it. There's more depth to these stories. There's just more emotional tone and there's just more there in general. And it's great. Kevin Feige, you're brilliant. You are the biggest mastermind in the entertainment industry. And let's go specifically back into the variants, because I'm getting way too into future tripping here. So you're probably all wondering, we met a lot of variants. Where do the variants rank for Chelsea? Obviously, our original Loki, which isn't technically our original, it's the 2012 one that they brought into the Loki series. But for all intents and purposes, we're going to call him original, the OG. He will always be my number one. Number two, I gotta say classic Loki. I really dug what Richard did with his performance for classic Loki and the story and the whole, you know, I isolated myself because everywhere I went, I realized pain followed. And then he just missed his brother and wanted to come back. And that's when the TVA showed up. hope that you're with us for a very, very, very long time to come, because I am so excited for the future of Marvel. Now, I will say, I know everyone's loving Alligator Loki. Alligator Loki is my least favorite. My least favorite. Kid Loki was fantastic. Sylvie might just be above Alligator Loki for me. I can't decide whether this is just a variant and a brand new character altogether, whether it's supposed to be Sylvie from the comics or at least a nod to her, or whether this is Lady Loki. And if it is Lady Loki, I am upset that she is not brunette and that she's blonde, and that's why she is so low on my radar for now. She might grow later on, but also the moment at the end where her emotions took over instead of rationality, and she couldn't get past personal vengeance, that really kind of soiled a lot for me too. President Loki, probably number three. Really upset that President Loki was on screen for what felt like 15 seconds total. For all of the campaigning and merchandise that we got for President Loki, I really thought we were going to have a fun arc with that. And that was really short-lived for me. And I won't lie, I was very disappointed by that. If the theories that that Mobius is a Loki variant are true, Mobius will be moving much higher up on this list as well. But we're not going to include him for this. Boastful Loki, he was great. I have no other thoughts. Literally somewhere between President Loki and Sylvie, and mixed in with all of the other ones that we didn't name. I was very curious by the soccer player Loki, or as I like to call it, football, because that's proper football. I would have liked to have seen that one show up and heard more about that story, because that was fascinating. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, in the earlier episodes, when you just see holograms of previous variants of Loki, there's one of Tom Hiddleston holding a soccer ball that literally just looks like he's in a football uniform. I was very, very fascinated by that one. Now, as we mentioned, there is a season two coming. I know a lot of people didn't realize that there was a season two before the end credits. Now everyone's really excited. I just was personally happy that they immortalized the news by putting it into the credits, because I feel like they can't take that back. They can't come back and say, you know what, we're not going to do a second season after all. Like, everyone's expecting it now. You're not going to disappoint the world. Now, I'm going to disappoint people slightly, because I feel like some people believe that season two is coming really soon. Like, maybe even the end of the year, that we're going to have Loki before we know it. And I'm here to tell you that the production schedule currently has it so that Loki doesn't even start filming for season two until January of 2022. That's a long time from now. And they're going to film for at least 3 months. If it's six episodes, they might be able to get it done in two. Then they have to go into post and all of those things. So the absolute earliest anybody could expect this, if we're lucky, is May or June of next year. But I feel like it might be even further than that. Because here's everything that Marvel has already filmed or will be filming before that point. Black Panther 2. Ant-Man and Wasp, Quantumania. Guardians of the Galaxy was going to start filming soon, but it just got pushed, I believe, till February. So maybe Loki will come out before that point. The Hawkeye series, the Miss Marvel series, Captain Marvel 2. And Secret Invasion starts this fall. Plus, She-Hulk just finished wrapping. Not to mention, we already know that Eternals, Shang-Chi, Spider-Man, Thor Love and Thunder, Doctor Strange are all coming out. They're on the schedule. That takes us through March alone. So there's a lot that's been filmed that I feel like has to come out before we're getting Loki. And I just want to prepare everyone that it might be a while. It might be. It's still exciting. We got something to look forward to, but it might be a while. And that's it. That's my thoughts on the current programming of Disney Plus. Obviously, there's a lot of other great content from the new season of High School Musical, the series, the animated Star Wars series, The Bad Batch. Mighty Ducks was great earlier this year. And if you haven't watched that, I strongly recommend you do. Big Shot was surprisingly really good. Turner and Hooch also premieres next week. There's tons of stuff to come, including way more Marvel shows and Star Wars shows, and I can't wait till we finally get the Tiana animated series. There's all sorts of stuff that they've talked about is coming that will be here soon enough. So in the meantime, I hope you enjoyed the small Disney Plus summer 2021 roundup. And if you have any specific thoughts, find me on social media. You can rate me on Twitter at UncoolRockstar, or follow High Voltage Mag on Twitter or TikTok, or hit me up on a DM on Instagram at Sprinkled by Magic. That is Sprinkled with a D, as in like past tense Sprinkled by Magic. I would love to hear your thoughts or what you're looking forward to. We also host a ton of fun polls about what you're watching, new releases, all sorts of things in our Instagram stories all the time. So if you're just down to nerd out about TV and movies, I strongly suggest you join on Instagram. Otherwise, we will be back soon, most likely within the week, for a podcast all about Disney's The Jungle Cruise, the new movie with Emily Blunt and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which comes out before the end of the month. So make sure you subscribe to this podcast to be notified when that episode is up, or go back through our history and discover some other things that have recently come out if you are in need of a suggestion of what to watch. Always here for you. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast would not exist without you. And we will talk to you soon.